You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, December 21st, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you the latest gaming impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek, delivered to you in 15 minutes to fit your busy life. I am very happy to have you with me today because on this episode, I'm going to be talking about my most anticipated games of 2024. And to make sure that you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show, which is available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as YouTube. And I would greatly appreciate it if you left a review while you're there to help spread the word about the show. Also, if you'd like to chat and hang out with me, you can find me on Threads or Facebook by searching for Midlife Side Quest. Every week I open up the episode by sending out some positive vibes. It's a special shout out to somebody whom I admire and appreciate in an attempt to spread some good energy and to make the gaming space a bit more friendly. And this week's positive vibes are going out to Stephen Totillo. Stephen is one of the most experienced veteran games journalists in the business. And when I say journalist, I mean it. He is not, you know, out there on YouTube making top 10 lists of the hottest animals in video games. This guy has been doing the real work of covering the games industry and the issues facing it for like two decades now. And this week, Stephen announced that after a long career with outlets like Kotaku and MTV News, he is going independent with his own outlet, Gamefile. He will still be doing the same high-quality games journalism that he's always been known for, but on his own terms now. So congratulations to him, and I hope you all go and check out Gamefile.news. ...2023 has been an absolutely stellar year for new video game releases. It was a considerably crappier year for those who make the video games, undoubtedly. But the games themselves have been quite good. It was such a huge year, in fact, that for the upcoming Game of the Year episodes of this show, which will debut on January 1st, I will be doing a top 10 games list, twice as many picks as I did on my list last year. So how in the world will 2024 be able to follow that up? Well, I don't know if it'll be able to match the quantity of great games that came out this year, but there are still quite a few really good-looking games on the horizon. So let's talk a little bit about some of the games that have me the most excited to turn over the calendar. Lost Records, Bloom and Rage is the first game on my list, and this is a new narrative adventure from Don't Nod, the creators of the Life is Strange series. It tells the story of a group of friends who reunite after 27 years to confront a secret that they've been keeping since 1995. And as soon as I heard the words narrative adventure and Don't Nod, I knew that this would be one of my most anticipated games of the year. Life is Strange is one of my favorite new IP of the last 20 years, and this new game looks like it really is carrying on in that tradition, in that style of storytelling. So I'm expecting great characters, clever writing, and an awesome soundtrack when it arrives on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox in late 2024. Next is House Flipper 2. So this game actually launched on PC last week, but if there's one thing that I've stuck to in my 40 years of playing video games, it's that I am a console gamer to the core. So I'll be waiting for this to launch on Xbox and PlayStation on March 21st. There aren't too many games these days that really suck me in for over 100 hours and keep me up playing well past midnight. But the original House Flipper absolutely did, and the sequel looks to improve on essentially everything, in addition to improved visuals and changes to the tool set to make them more user-friendly. They've also added a sandbox mode, which really looks to let you create any house that you can dream up in your head. And I cannot wait to stay up way past my bedtime again, making my dream home. I never played the original Stalker, but when I saw the trailer for Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, I knew that it would be my kind of game. This first-person survival horror looks fantastic, and the world and the setting looks really intriguing to me. And let's be honest, this is a game that I think everybody is rooting for and wants to do quite well. This game has been in development for a very long time, and it was originally due to be released last year, but with developer GSC being based out of Kyiv, things have obviously been thrown into chaos since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Developers have had to flee their homes, while some have even, you know, taken up the fight against Russia. And after moving development to the Czech Republic, they also suffered multiple cyber attacks from people trying to derail this game's development. If there is any studio in the world that deserves a W, it's these guys. So Stalker 2 is currently set to release on Xbox and PC this year, but I'm pretty sure a PlayStation version is expected shortly after. The Plucky Squire has been on my radar since it was first announced with its amazing-looking debut trailer. From indie developer All Possible Futures, the game follows Jot, the hero of a storybook who is kicked out of his story after the villainous Humgrump discovers how the tale ends and that he gets defeated. Jot must now go back and forth between the 2D world of the book and the 3D outside world that it exists in to try and set things right and defeat Humgrump. If the gameplay is half as spectacular as the visual presentation is, then we are going to be in for quite a treat. Seriously, if you haven't watched this trailer yet, go to YouTube and search for Plucky Squire. It looks spectacular. And it is set to release on PC, Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox sometime in 2024. Finally, there's Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. And I say finally because I really hope this game comes out this year. It's been a long time coming. We got a great new gameplay trailer at the Game Awards, but still no concrete release window other than 2024. The game looks stunning. I loved the original, and I thought it was one of the most unique action games out there. The mix of brutal combat with Senua's her hallucinations and the voices in her head made it a really unique experience. Expectations are high for this game. It was literally the first Xbox game announced for this generation, and fans are dying to get their hands on it. So I just hope that it can deliver in a way that does the original justice. Hellblade 2 should be released sometime this year for Xbox and PC. So there is quite a bit to look forward to next year. All of those games look great to me, and that was without even talking about Princess Peach Showtime, Avowed, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Mario vs. Donkey Kong, the remasters of Tomb Raider 1 through 3, and Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth. You know, it's safe to say that the pandemic development lull is over and the games are coming out now fast, which is great news for gamers and terrible news for our backlogs. Relationships with our fathers can be very complicated, and mine is no exception. I hope you'll indulge me in a little seriousness at the end of this episode. My dad left our family when I was pretty young. I obviously don't know all the ins and outs of my parents' relationship, and I quit trying to figure that out, you know, figure out why he left a long time ago. But it was complicated, and he was definitely a flawed person, both as a husband and a father. I know he tried, but it definitely wasn't a, you know, I wouldn't call it an overly warm or affectionate relationship. We loved each other, no doubt. We just, you know, weren't maybe great at expressing it. He did teach me several things, though, even if some of those things were like how I didn't want to be as a father. And that, you know, that sounds like I'm taking a dig at him, but I don't mean it to be. Just that I learned from his mistakes, and I think that that's made me a better dad. You know, I hope it has. I think he's maybe also partly responsible for this podcast. One of the careers that my dad had over the years was as a DJ at a local radio station in his small Wisconsin town that he grew up in. And, you know, what is a podcaster but a modern day evolution of a radio personality? I remember him taking me to the station a couple of times and watching him in the recording booth, and that's really stuck with me over the years, and I think it maybe inspired me a little bit to do this, even if it was subconsciously. This week is the 20th anniversary of his death. It's wild that it's been that long. He never got to meet my wife. We actually met about 3 months after he passed away, and so he obviously never got to meet my kids either. You know, I think they would have liked Grandpa Dutch. So I've been thinking a lot about him lately. And I guess I wanted to say that, you know, none of us are perfect. Not as individuals and not as parents. And you shouldn't expect to be a perfect parent, because you're not going to be. What is important is that you love your child and that you stand by them and protect them and give them all the support in the world. And he couldn't always do that for me, but I don't hold that against him. We're only human. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day for me. The show will be taking next week off so that I can spend some time with my family and prepare for the Midlife Side Quest Game of the Year episodes, which will debut on January 1st and run that entire week. So don't forget, you can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And look for me on Threads and Facebook if you want to chat. So until next week, be well, happy gaming, and happy holidays.